WKJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's partly to mostly cloudy, 77 degrees in Atlantic. We look for just a slight chance for isolated showers today, a high of 92. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments in Atlantic. In the news, investigators have examined a heater as they search for the cause of a plane crash in Kansas that killed four people with ties to Oklahoma's Oral Roberts University. The heater was found in the wreckage of an eight-passenger plane that crashed on May 11th of last year near Chanute, Kansas. The National Transportation Safety Board issued a factual report this week about the crash that killed the plane's pilot and three others. One woman survived. The Tulsa World Herald reports that she informed investigators that the heater produced a terrible smell. The plane was flying from Tulsa and was en route to a Christian youth rally in Council Bluffs when it crashed last year. The NTSB has not yet issued a probable cause report about that crash. News time is 8:01.
You're home most of the time just watching television, and you don't have any problems hearing the TV, so you don't need to have your hearing tested.
At family functions, everyone pretty much leaves you alone anyway, so you don't need a hearing evaluation.
At the doctor's office, your wife asks all the questions, and she'll help you get all the medications right once you get home. You don't need to hear everything the doctor says.
When everyone at coffee is laughing and having a good time telling jokes, it doesn't bother you. You just laugh along with them so they don't think you didn't get it. The fact that you missed the punchline is okay. You don't like dumb jokes anyway, and you definitely don't need to get your hearing evaluated.
During your last performance evaluation, you didn't get the raise you expected. Your boss says he's tired of repeating instructions, and if things don't improve, your job might be in jeopardy. Maybe it is time to get your hearing checked.
This is Doug Leonard, audiologist at ASI. If you're tired of missing out on quality time with your family, of missing the punchlines with your friends, and maybe even falling behind at work, there is hope. Take control of your life. Call today for a hearing evaluation. ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll. Hear better, live better.
Iowa Governor Terry Branstad and Denmark Ambassador to the U.S. Peter Taksøe Jensen are scheduled to speak during a banquet Saturday evening in Elkhorn during the 30th anniversary celebration of the opening of the Danish Immigrant Museum. The ambassador represents the government of Denmark in the United States. Prior to commencing his position in Washington, Taksøe Jensen was the Assistant Secretary General for Legal Affairs at the U.N. Museum Executive Director Dr. John Mark Nielsen, who was knighted this February by the Queen of Denmark, will also speak at the event, which runs from 5 until 7 p.m. Saturday. Tickets for that banquet were through advanced sales only and are no longer available. Terry Johnson, an administrative manager of the Danish Immigrant Museum in Elkhorn, says the museum was established in 1983, but construction didn't begin until 1993.
It was just an idea to build a museum to house artifacts and tell the Danish immigrant story. The building itself was built in 1994.
Johnson says Elkhorn was one of two sites being considered for construction of the museum.
Well, the other place that was considered was Minneapolis. And you can see the difference between a major metropolitan area of, you know, many, many, many people and the communities of Elkhorn-Kimbleton with a population of about 1,000. Actually, it was a number of reasons that they ended up locating it here in Elkhorn, and part of it was just the enthusiasm of the local residents.
Excluding the banquet, museum events will be free to the public with a free will donation, and it's open and includes music, dancing, exhibit tours, and the annual Sankt Hans Often bonfire. Terry Johnson said that the events at the museum begin in earnest at around 2 p.m. on Saturday.
And they begin with a tour of our premier exhibit for the year, and that's Danish Modern Design for Living. We'll be having tours given by Tova Brandt, and she's our Albert Ravenholt, Curator of Danish American Culture. And this is quite an important exhibit for the museum. We have pieces of Danish modern furniture from around the country from private lenders as well as some important museums.
From 2:30 until 3:30 p.m. Saturday, Glenn Henriksen of Armstrong will be playing Victor Borge's grand piano at the museum. And then from 3:45 to 4:15, the Danish troubadour Fleming Baron from Olympia, Washington, will play guitar outside the museum on the east patio. Sankt Hans Often, the traditional midsummer celebration in Denmark, celebrated since the days of the Vikings, begins at 7:30 p.m. Saturday and features cake, ice cream, lemonade, musical entertainment, games for children, and community singing. The day concludes at 9 p.m. with a bonfire in the Jens Jensen Prairie Landscape Park on the museum grounds and includes a smaller fire in the council ring. More information can be found at www.danishmuseum.org or by calling 712-764-7001. In other news, the Mills County Sheriff's Office reports four people were arrested Wednesday. 19-year-old Benjamin Lee McGee of Glenwood was arrested at around 11:30 p.m. on a warrant for violation of his probation. Bond was set at $7,500. 37-year-old Sean Eugene Hicks of Emerson was arrested just after 8 p.m. Wednesday on warrants for burglary in the third degree, theft in the first and second degrees, and criminal mischief. His bond was set at $40,000. 53-year-old Alfred Charles Barrett of Glenwood was arrested at around 6:30 p.m. Wednesday at the Mills County Sheriff's Office on a warrant for violation of probation. His bond was set at $5,000. And 51-year-old Thomas Michael Horan of Council Bluffs was arrested at around 11 a.m. Wednesday at the Pottawatomie County Jail on three warrants for theft in the third degree, ongoing criminal conduct, two counts of criminal mischief, and a separate count of criminal mischief. His bond was set at $33,000. The Harlan Police Department reports three people were arrested this week on separate charges. Taken into custody on Tuesday was 65-year-old David Peters of Harlan, who was arrested following a reported disturbance at the Harlan Public Library. Peters was initially charged with public intoxication and disorderly conduct, but after being booked into the Shelby County Jail, he was found to be allegedly in possession of a controlled substance. He was subsequently charged with possessing contraband in a correctional facility. 24-year-old Shannon Shaw of Harlan was arrested Tuesday following a traffic stop. Shaw was charged with operating a motor vehicle while intoxicated. And 21-year-old Michael Tremaine of Harlan was arrested Tuesday for OWI and driving under suspension. The vehicle he was driving was registered to Andrew White. And 28-year-old Dane Stevens of Harlan reportedly possessed the vehicle. Stevens was cited for allowing an unauthorized person to drive and for failure to transfer a title. On June the 12th, Harlan police arrested 29-year-old Gabriel Brown in Harlan after he was found to be in possession of a 2012 Chevy Malibu that was reported stolen. Brown was brought to the Shelby County Jail and charged with theft of a motor vehicle in the first degree. That same day, two Nebraska residents were arrested following a report of a suspicious vehicle in the Dollar General parking lot in Harlan. 26-year-old Nicholas Donatelli of Omaha was arrested on a charge of carrying weapons. And 22-year-old Morgan Kriz of Kearney, Nebraska was arrested for possession of drug paraphernalia and unlawful possession of prescription drugs. Both subjects were booked into the Shelby County Jail. The Cass County Soil and Water Conservation District reports that they'll be accepting applications for cover crops until Thursday, August 15th. Cover crops are used to reduce soil erosion and capture residual nutrients to protect soil resources and water quality. Producers should stop by the district office at 503 West 7th Street in Atlantic, Suite Number 1, to make an application. You can stop by the office or call 712-243-3180 for more information. Ag Secretary Bill Northey says it will now be a much heavier lift to get a farm bill passed in the U.S. House. A coalition of Democrats and Republicans joined yesterday to defeat the farm bill by a 195 to 234 vote.
This was a real surprise. I think most of us thought that it was going to pass, so there wasn't a lot of thought of what happens if it doesn't. So I think there's a lot of trying to figure out what this means.
Northey, a Republican who farms near Spirit Lake, says the farm bill is a complicated piece of legislation, and it requires a bit of a tightrope walk to build the bipartisan coalition necessary to get it passed.
Inherently, there are some Republicans that are not going to vote for a farm bill, and the challenge is being able to have a bill that can appeal across the aisle to enough Democrats to replace those Republicans and get enough to get a majority.
Conservative Republicans say the farm bill is loaded with excessive spending, while many Democrats object to cuts in the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, commonly called food stamps. Northey said the farm community is hopeful that clear eyes will take a look at what happened in the House and find a way to make changes that would accommodate some of the concerns and round up enough votes to pass it.
To defeat it is one thing. To come back with something that can pass and to fix at least some people's viewpoint of what needs to be done, that's a much heavier lift.
And but Northey warns if some version of the farm bill clears the House, it's not clear sailing because a group of House and Senate members will have to draft a compromise farm bill that can win approval in both the Republican-led House and the U.S. Senate, where Democrats control the debate agenda.
There's plenty of corners that could hang up this farm bill even if we can get it past the House at some point.
The 2008 Farm Bill expired last fall, but Congress passed a one-year extension, putting pressure on lawmakers to get something done by September 30th. All four Iowa congressmen voted for the Farm Bill yesterday. Republican Congressman Tom Latham issued a statement saying he has real frustration with members of both parties who blocked the bill's progress, although Latham did note that 3 out of 4 House Republicans voted for the bill, while barely 1 in 10 House Democrats did. Democratic Congressman Bruce Braley said yesterday's vote was Washington at its worst. Before the vote, Republican Congressman Steve King pointed to cuts and reforms in the food stamp program that were outlined in the Farm Bill and called that a solid start to solving Washington's spending problem. King also noted the version of the Farm Bill that was being considered in the House cut federal spending on traditional commodity programs by 36%. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour, stocks may be poised for a bit of a rebound after their worst day of the year yesterday. Stock futures have been higher today, with many investors apparently believing that yesterday's sell-off was an overreaction to the comments a day earlier from Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke, who said the Fed Reserve could start backing off its bond-buying stimulus program in just a matter of months. President Obama today meets with a little-known federal board he says will play a key role in having a public discussion about government surveillance programs. The Privacy and Civil Liberties Oversight Board reviews terrorism programs enacted by the president to ensure that privacy concerns are taken into account. The government has already lifted some of the secrecy surrounding the programs after they were disclosed earlier this month by a former government contractor. Two former Border Patrol agents convicted in one of the highest-profile corruption cases to sting the federal agency in a decade are scheduled to be sentenced this morning in San Diego federal court. Brothers Raul and Fidel Villarreal face a maximum of 15 years in prison and at least $1.25 million in penalties. They're convicted of smuggling hundreds of immigrants into the U.S. Prosecutors say Raul Villarreal once played the role of a smuggler in a public service ad. Lawyers in the Florida second-degree murder trial of a former neighborhood watch volunteer, George Zimmerman, are expecting to learn today whether a prosecution expert can testify that screams for help on a 911 call came from the 17-year-old victim, Trevon Martin. Defense attorneys say the analysis is flawed. Zimmerman contends that he shot the teen in self-defense. Opening statements are set to begin on Monday. And water levels from heavy flooding in western Canada are expected to peak around noon today, and that could force up to 100,000 people to evacuate. Torrential rains and widespread flooding throughout southern Alberta has washed out roads and bridges. At least one person is reported to be missing. In Calgary, many neighborhoods already have been ordered evacuated. News time is 8:12.
Listen carefully and think what your life would be like if you were constantly faced with
embarrassment, fatigue, irritability, tension and stress, anger, avoidance of social activities,
depression, negativism, danger to personal safety, reduced general health, loneliness,
social isolation, impaired memory, less adaptability to learning new tasks, paranoia, reduced coping skills, and reduced overall psychological health.
So what is it? Heart disease, cancer, or some other serious illness? For many of these diseases, the prognosis may be terminal, but the symptoms you just heard are actually linked to hearing loss. And for that, there is hope, whether the loss is mild or profound. This is Doug Leonard, audiologist with ASI. Hearing loss doesn't have to be a source of embarrassment or depression or any of the other symptoms you just heard. You can avoid many, if not all of them, by treating your hearing loss with hearing aids. Today's hearing aids offer technology that has given back what so many patients thought they'd lost for good. And it starts with an evaluation. Call today, ASI, with offices in Atlantic, Audubon, Manning, and Carroll. Hear better, live better.
In the funeral announcements, Herta Dearson, age 63 of Manning, died Tuesday. Funeral services for Herta Dearson will be this morning at 10:30 at Zion Lutheran Church in Manning. Odie Funeral Home in Manning has arrangements. Sandra Rayanne Sandy Speedling, age 70 of Earlham, died Monday in Des Moines. Funeral services for Sandy Speedling will be today at 10:30 at the Johnson Family Funeral Home in Earling. Galen Smith, age 75 of Avoca, died Monday. Graveside services for Galen Smith will be held today at 11 o'clock in the Minden Cemetery. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Avoca has arrangements. Eva Lucille Pelzer, age 96, who's formerly of Atlantic, died June the 14th in Indiana. Funeral services for Lucille Pelzer will be held today at 2:30 in the chapel at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Guy Richard Barton, age 80 of Exira and formerly of Brayton, died February 18th. Celebration of life services for Guy Barton will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Exira Christian Church. Kessler Funeral Home in Exira has the arrangements. Bob Rogers, age 89, of Cumberland, died June 11th in Des Moines. Celebration of Life Fellowship and Luncheon for Bob Rogers will be held beginning at noon tomorrow at the Cumberland Community Center. Steen Funeral Home in Messina has arrangements. Jesse Scott Leeper, age 20, of Adair, died Wednesday at the University of Iowa Hospitals and Clinics in Iowa City. Funeral services for Jesse Leeper will be on Monday at 10:30 at the Adair Casey High School Gymnasium. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. And Dorothy Ann Becker, age 71, of Ames and formerly of Atlantic, died Thursday in Ames. Services for Dorothy Becker are currently pending at the Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. The news was brought to you by ASI, Audiology and Hearing Instruments, at 601 Poplar in Atlantic. Call 243-5796. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.